And right now, it's time for Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll be speaking with Dr. Jennifer Conrad about a host of issues related to feline decline. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is the Hot Club of Cowtown with a piece called Wildcat here on Talking Animals. This is the Hot Club of Cowtown with a piece called Wildcat, an animal tune of sorts, as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals. My name is Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. In just a few moments, we'll be speaking with today's guest, Dr. Jennifer Conrad, a veterinarian and director of the Paw Project, an organization that seeks to educate the public about the harmful effects of feline decline, to end the practice of the declaw surgery, and to rehabilitate big cats that have been declawed. We'll explore various aspects of feline decline as they pertain to both big cats and little cats when we speak with Dr. Jennifer Conrad in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And as usual, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. First, though, as always, we try to work in a couple of animal news items and or announcements. So from the Animal Coalition of Tampa, I want to let you know that they are offering a free heartworm test with every dog spay-neuter surgery during this month, the month of April. Surgery includes a pain injection, antibiotic injections, and anesthesia. Rabies vaccinations and other services are available at regular low prices. Dogs already tested can receive a discount toward already low-priced heartworm preventative by providing proof of that test. Call the clinic at 813-250-3900. That's 813-250-3900 to reserve an appointment. Or visit www.actampa.org for prices and additional information. Also, the Dunedin Dog Rescue, Doggy Rescue, is presenting, among other things, an Easter Doggy Run, a.k.a. a Run for Romeo. It's a 5K run, that's for people, and a one-mile puppy parade. That's this Saturday, April 11th at 3 p.m. at Wall Springs Park in Palm Harbor. There's an after-party at Got Wines in Dunedin featuring the band Rule 62. Parenthetically, I like to note, dogs are welcome. More information at DunedinDogs.com. Okay, let's step in to the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which as always involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Tom Papa with a brief piece called Pet People on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
We gotta go somewhere, though. This baby is just killing us. We had to have a baby, though. It was really getting to a point. My wife was becoming one of those weird pet people. Like anytime someone would tell a story about their kid doing something like scoring a goal in soccer, my wife would chime in, "Oh, that's like Gracie when she bats the ball down the hallway." Shut up. Pet people are very aggressive now. Have you noticed that? Pet people, very, very mean. If you don't like pets, they think you're like a Nazi or something. You don't like pets? You're so mean. How can you not like pets? You're so mean. Really, I'm mean. I'm not the one keeping a wild animal hostage in my apartment. No, but he loves me. Really. Open the door. See how much he loves you as he's hightailing it to Pennsylvania.
Okay, that was Tom Papa with a piece called Pet People, taken from his album Cool, Calm, and Collected. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net, where not only all our past programs are archived, but most are available as podcasts and iTunes. For example, our last show with World Peace Diet author Dr. Will Tuttle. We also have a link to the Talking Animals MySpace. We're still looking for friends. Our Facebook page, we're looking for fans. And our blog, there's also a place to subscribe to our email newsletter so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guests, program news, and more. That's all at talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to speak with today's guest, Dr. Jennifer Conrad. So let me outline a few things about her. As I mentioned a moment ago, she's a veterinarian and director of the Paw Project, an organization that seeks to educate the public about the harmful effects of feline decline, to end the practice of the declaw surgery, and to rehabilitate big cats that have been declawed. Along those lines, she's performed a reparative surgery on countless declawed cats, including on a special episode of ABC TV's Extreme Makeover Home Edition that aired March 29th. There's much to cover here, so with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Dr. Jennifer Conrad back to Talking Animals. Dr. Conrad, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Cool. Welcome back. I guess, because it's been a while since we've spoken, but back in the California days, you were practically getting mail at Talking Animals. You're on often enough, and we enjoyed those conversations, so I'm glad to have you back on the show today. And really, because this topic is one that's both enormously important and surrounded by misconceptions, but we haven't really talked about it on this show, I think for all those reasons, we might be wise to just sort of start off at the most remedial level, starting with what exactly is declawing.
Unfortunately, declawing is a misnomer. That's what it is, because it's actually de-knuckling. It's actually taking the last bone in a cat's toe and removing it, because the nail grows from the bone, not like our fingers where the nail grows on the skin. So veterinarians are actually removing bone, nerve, muscle, skin, fur to declaw a cat. It's not just a fancy manicure.
And mindful that there are points at which the declaw discussion sort of diverges a bit for house cats as opposed to big cats, but maybe you could still kind of outline the ostensible reasons people seek the declaw surgery for their cats, small or large.
Well, I think what people think is that it doesn't hurt, and they're just doing an expedient way of trimming the nails, you know, and what they don't realize is that big cat, little cat, doesn't matter. It's actually an amputation of the last bone. It's considered in veterinary medicine one of the most severely painful surgeries that's done routinely. And yet people don't realize what they're subjecting their cats to. And I think that's part of the campaign, is just educating people, because you wouldn't believe the number of people I speak with who say that they love their cat. They would never have done it if their veterinarian had actually told them what it was.
Well, yeah, I certainly want to get into that in a moment. But I guess, too, just to place this in some further context, I mean, like, for example, for house cats, I mean, how much of this, whatever people are informed or under-informed about, how much of this is about furniture and drapes, for example? I mean, in terms of what prompts someone to get this procedure?
I think it's probably almost entirely about furniture and drapes.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's because people think that they're doing the right thing because their veterinarian suggests it. But what's ironic about it, and what's so horrible for cats about it, is that declawing actually, statistically speaking, declawing makes a cat more likely to go to the pound because of the behavior problems that ensue after declawing. For instance, a declawed cat is robbed of its primary defense, so the cat has to bite to protect itself. And then a biting cat, that's going to make a cat go to the pound. Also, because I think it hurts to dig in the litter box, they stop using the litter box. Their paws, you know, hurt. So then people are sure to drop them off in the pound. So believe it or not, declawing the cat actually makes it lose its home more likely than leaving the claws on.
Yeah, it's one of those sort of classic and obviously, you know, extremely unfortunate counterintuitive things where, again, people are underinformed, and maybe we'll come back to maybe why at their veterinarian's office they're not better informed. But yeah, they think, hey, this is going to make things better for us, for the cat, whatever. And as you just outlined, all sorts of behavioral and other problems ensue. And then pretty soon that cat is sort of being handed off at the nearest animal shelter. And I want to get into some of the implications of that as well. But we already have at least one call here. Let's take a call, Dr. Conrad. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Dr. Conrad.
Hi, I'm Crystal from Tampa.
Hi, Crystal.
And I am so glad to hear somebody preaching the same story that I tell. They don't believe me when I tell them they're amputating cats' feet.
Right.
And that you could, with, for the price of a dollar store squirt bottle and a scratching post, you can end the problem with your furniture and your drapes. It's so simple. I mean, cats do, you know, will train to a scratching post, and I think they actually prefer it.
I think you're right. They do prefer it, and you have to spend a little bit of time and look at what your cat is scratching on. If the cat is scratching on carpet, then get a carpet scratching post. But if they're scratching on wood, get wood.
And, exactly.
And sisal fiber is good, too. But the one that I think all cats like and is pretty inexpensive is the corrugated cardboard.
I use cardboard, and we replace a 2x4 because I have one that seems to love wood. So we use a piece of 2x4, and it's strongly anchored, and otherwise they love the corrugated cardboard because the companies now infuse it with catnip.
Exactly, and so these are very inexpensive alternatives to declawing.
And it's so much cheaper than the declaw process.
Absolutely, and it keeps you happy and your cat happy, and everybody lives harmoniously in your house.
Yeah.
And that's so much better.
And the dollar squirt bottle or the dollar squirt gun teaches them that it's, you know, in a non-painful, non-aggressive way, they think God did it. They don't know that you did it. They've done something wrong.
Okay, well, thanks so much for your call. That's great. I appreciate it. We have other callers, and I certainly have a lot of things I want to touch on with Dr. Conrad, and including... Well, a couple of things, actually, that the caller reminded me. I think I asked you this in one of our first radio conversations some years ago, but given all the countries where declawing is illegal for some of the reasons you've already mentioned, or at the very least considered sort of unacceptably inhumane, I mean, what part of the problem here is semantic? That is, instead of us talking right now about declawing, I mean, if we were saying in each instance part of the cat's toes are amputated, what would that do, or does that do, to the conversation and the debate?
Well, I think it changes it markedly. I think that owners of cats do not know what they are subjecting their cats to. And if it were called amputation or something like that, instead of, it's got this kind of innocuous name of declawing, as if it's just a fancy manicure.
Yeah.
And that's the part of the campaign of the Paw Project, is to educate the public. Look into what it is before you do this. And I think that veterinarians also should be accountable for recommending it without telling people what it is. I think that veterinarians, you know, are on this course of wishing that they were treated more like pediatricians in that they're treating a family member. But when it comes to accountability, they are not up to that par. In fact, they are almost happy that they're treating what's considered property. So they're not disclosing what declawing is. There's no informed consent. There needs to be this because I think that people who have cats love their cats. They don't want to do this if they knew what it was.
Absolutely. Well, let me just let the listener know, this is Talking Animals. If you just tune in, we're speaking with Dr. Jennifer Conrad about feline declawing. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask Dr. Conrad a question, please call 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. Well, I think perhaps the next step, really, because you sort of touched on this, but I it seems like a huge ongoing problem is people don't really know sort of what they're getting into or what they're getting their cats into. And you did touch on how painful it is. But one of the things, as I was doing a bit of my homework, and of course some of that was on your great website, pawproject.com, I was struck, either I'd forgotten this or just learned it the other night. The declaw surgery is, I guess, considered so painful that it's actually used to test the effectiveness of pain medications.
Yeah, isn't that striking? That it's so... It causes such an specifically severe pain in every single animal that they use it to test pain medications. And what's striking about that is these poor cats are subjected to declawing to try these pain medications. And when you realize that 44% of veterinarians in the United States do not use any perioperative pain medications, so... then what are the cats going through then? And also, if you look at cats about 12 days after they've been declawed and you put a pad down it that senses the amount of pressure they'll put on a foot, then you realize that they are still holding up the foot that's been declawed.
Wow.
So it's just awful.
All right, so let's we've got all kinds of folks calling in. I've got an email I want to get to in a sec. In fact, let me actually, because this email sort of encompasses some of this stuff anyways. It says, thank you for your great work, Dr. Conrad. Great topic. Are the numbers of domestic cat declines decreasing? And perhaps the $64,000 question, why do vets still do this?
I think that the number of, I'm hoping that the Paw Project's had an impact. I know it has in the area that I live in, which is the Los Angeles area, because I've talked to veterinarians and they say that they don't even have the opportunity to tell people about declawing anymore because they've been educated. So
wow.
I'm happy to hear that. I think that veterinarians are doing it because either they're not thinking about the long-term ramifications of declawing a cat, or it's because they are making a significant amount of money for very little overhead.
Yeah, I didn't want to sound too cynical, but I was going to sort of ask you to what extent all declaw roads, at least in this instance, lead to money. So it sounds like at least that's part of the...
Well, I had an email conversation with a veterinarian who said that he declaws over 30 animals a month. And he's making about $72,000 a year from declawing alone, so he's not going to give it up anytime soon.
Yeah, yeah. And Dr. Conrad, before we take another call or two, and we started down this path, and I think I actually got us off it, but can you tell us just at least somewhat briefly, what, besides the incredible pain that we've already acknowledged, what are some of the other either downsides or complications that ensue after the declawing procedure?
Well, very often the most important thing is that when you declaw a cat, you are actually amputating the bone. So there's surgical complications like infection, lameness, arthritis. All these things are possible. And also there's this very specific change in behavior. And you might not hear about it from veterinarians, but if you ask rescuers, people who rescue cats, they'll tell you that a declawed cat is more likely to bite and is less likely to use the litter box. And that's why that cat needed to be rescued, because someone dumped it.
Mm. Wow. Okay, let's take a few, at least a couple more calls. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Dr. Conrad.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Brandy, and I'm from Tampa.
Hi, Brandy.
Hi. I'm a big fan of the show, by the way. I listen quite a bit.
Thank you.
And I was interested in calling because I wanted to make a couple points. I think your speaker is very interesting, and I think I've heard very similar arguments made before. I'm an emergency veterinary technician in Tampa, and I really think that there are very similar to abortion. There are many sides and many different scenarios where, you know, decoying your cat is not the right thing to do, but I think that there are cases where if a person feels like that's their last option and they haven't learned or tried to learn how to declaw their cat, or to not declaw, but trim their nails, or, you know, whatever techniques, and they feel like their only other choice is either that or give the cat up, I think that if it's done well and if it's done with the appropriate amount of pain medicine and the appropriate amount of education, that it can be a beneficial thing to the cat's life, because after the wounds have healed, there is no long-term pain. In fact, cats, in my experience, and I've had 7 years of emergency experience, they are just absolutely fine. The only worry you have to have is if they ever do get out, you know, because they have no claws, so they cannot protect themselves. But there are many people who have cats that have absolutely no interest in going outside. So, I mean, their nails grow just like rodents' teeth grow continuously. So if they have nothing to take off those outer sheaths, then they will, of course, start to scratch on furniture or whatever they can find, or else their nails will grow into their skin, just like rodents' teeth grow into the roof of their mouth.
Okay, Brandy, well, I appreciate the call, and I certainly want to present all sorts of viewpoints on this. It's just we're running desperately short on time. We've got a bunch of callers here, and I want to also give Dr. Conrad a chance to respond, but I do appreciate your call and your comments. Dr. Conrad, do you want to respond to that?
Sure. Sure, and I understand that many people feel that this is, or not many anymore, I hope, but there are many, there are people who feel that they have to declaw the cat or it's going to lose its home. And what I'm telling you is, statistically speaking, a declawed cat is more likely to lose its home because of the behavior problems that ensue after declawing. So it's not the answer. In fact, as we all have talked about, the scratching post and training the cat is the answer, because then the cat gets to stay in the house. Declawing, if you look in the veterinary literature, 50% of cats who are declawed have immediate surgical complications. 20% will have lifetime complications. 33% will have a behavior problem that comes right after declawing. So with those sort of statistics and those sort of numbers, you have to worry that your cat is going to lose its home from declawing. And so when you get these people who come in and say, you know, this is the last resort, I'm going to declaw the cat, it's better just to either rehome the cat or educate the people, because with those kind of numbers, you are very likely to have that cat lose its home anyway.
And then there seems to be a ripple effect that I started to mention earlier, that the kind of cat that you've just described, there's a behavioral issue. That cat gets the people say, hey, we can't keep this cat here in the house. They get taken, ideally, at least hopefully, at least to a shelter or a rescue facility. But then the implications of that, I believe, Dr. Conrad, and correct me if I'm wrong, are that then that declawed cat has a real uphill battle in terms of being adopted to a new home.
Absolutely, because the shelter has the obligation of disclosing to the potential new home why the cat was relinquished. And most often they have to say it's because he's not using the box or he's biting. And people are not about to take that problem on. And so if you talk to the shelter workers, these are people who would do anything to find the cats that they have in their care a home. But they very often, and like 99% of them, will not adopt to a potential home if that home is going to declaw the cat. And why? Because they know they're going to get it back.
Mm.
So people who would do anything to find these cats a good home will not adopt on that one principle, and it's because they know they're going to get the cat back.
Yeah, boy, that speaks volumes right there. All right, let's take another caller. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Dr. Conrad. If you have a shorter question, I'd appreciate it, just because we're nearing the end of our time.
I have a comment.
Okay, please.
I declawed two cats 20 years ago before I understood what it was all about, and yes, you're absolutely right. They do become aggressive. What can we do to change the laws? Because I know a lot of veterinarians aren't vets because they love animals. It's a shorter-term school term, and I've had many of them tell me, I wanted to be a psychologist, but it was a shorter time to become a vet. So they're not in it for the love of the animals. So what can we do to pass laws to outlaw declawing?
Well, I...
Great question. Thank you.
We passed a law in West Hollywood, California. It was quite a battle. In fact, fighting veterinarians to this day about this law that we passed. In the veterinarians in California have now on the table in the state, in Sacramento, a law which is called Senate Bill 762, where they are trying to make it illegal for a city to pass a ban on declawing. So it's an uphill battle, but the way that I would recommend that you do it is get a city council member educated about what declawing is. Make them realize that the shelters are overburdened by declawed cats because the declawed cats are much harder to find new homes for. And so there's a fiscal issue. And if you, with education, you'll realize that most people are just shocked to think that veterinarians would do this to cats, and push the law at the local level first, and then every opportunity you have, educate people, because I find that with education, if we can't pass the laws, at least we can stop the demand, because people won't want to do it to their animals anymore.
Thanks again for your question. Again, we're speaking with Dr. Jennifer Conrad from the PAW Project, and we're just sort of in our last moment or two, unfortunately, of on Talking Animals today. But yeah, I was going to touch on that. And Dr. Conrad, the that legislation that you guys kind of helped spearhead, I believe, is the only one still of its kind in the United States. Is that still true?
The city of West Hollywood, it's illegal to declaw any animal. In the state of California, we made it illegal to declaw big cats or exotic cats. So anyone who's not a domestic cat, it's illegal. And we're working on making it illegal to declaw the domestic cats. It's just that the domestic cats, the veterinarians fight to be able to declaw them because it is so lucrative. I mean, I told you that one vet said that he's making about $1,200 an hour declawing cats.
Hard to give that up, even to do the right thing, I guess. So,
you're supposed to.
Yes, of course, of course. There was some irony there. But anyway, okay, well, gosh, Dr. Conrad, we are sort of nearing the end of our time. One thing quickly, I did want to get into big cats. One thing maybe I can at least refer folks again to your really wonderful website, pawproject.com, because as I mentioned, I think in the introduction, you were sort of on national television a couple of Sundays ago doing a reparative surgery on a bigger cat named Diablo, and there are clips that people can see by going to your website. And it's a whole other area that we unfortunately don't have time to get into today. But just the idea of seeing a big cat that's been declawed that is in so much pain they walk on their elbows, I think that may say quite a bit. But
and remember that big cats are the same as the little cats. It's just that everything's magnified. It's so much bigger and easier to see in a big cat. But if you take a chance and you look at the declawed paws of a domestic cat, very often you'll see the exact same problems. You'll see the pads receding and the cat actually walking on his wrists or elbows. It's very disturbing.
Wow. All right. Well, I hate to leave it on that note, but again, hopefully we'll speak another time not too far down the road, Dr. Conrad. This is, again, Dr. Jennifer Conrad from the PAW Project. Really great website to further educate yourself and see all kinds of information. And again, her some of these pieces that run that recent TV show, pawproject.com. So again, hope to speak to you down the road, Dr. Conrad. Thanks for all your great work.
Thank you, Duncan.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, I'm Duncan Strauss, and you are listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net, which I hope you'll visit to sign up for our email newsletter, subscribe to our podcast, check out our MySpace. We're looking for friends, our new Facebook page as well, and we're looking for fans there, our blog, and more. That's all found on talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal. That tune. There'll be a prize, a spiffy Talking Animal shirt, to the first person who calls in at 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune, which I offer with little or no irony. It's named an animal tune, the Talking Animals. All right, we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. The program airs twice a month. All right, looks like we got a phone bank full of folks here. Let's take the first one. Hi, you're on Talking Animals. Can you name that animal, Tim?
Yeah, Cat Scratch Fever, Ted Nugent.
Of course. What is your first name, sir?
Tom.
Okay, Tom, you are our winner. Everyone else, we do have a winner. Even if you're listening and you think you're the winner, it's Tom, who I'll come back to in a moment after the show's over. Congratulations, Tom. Thanks. Okay, so we have reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. The program airs twice a month, specifically the first and second Wednesday of each month. So we'll return Wednesday, May 6th. I hope you'll join me then. And I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. We're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal tune. This is Bishop Allen with, appropriately enough, Tiger Tiger on WMNF Tampa.
Today you are unlucky, and that's the way to be. You know it best, it's just a test of your tenacity. Answer with a mumble, that's good enough for me. for I am a mumbler too. So imitate the action of the tiger, or imitate the action of a snail. Slouchers whispered in my ear, keep it in your notebooks and keep your notebooks near. Write that down, he said, borrow my pen if you need, for you are a sloucher too. So imitate the action of the tiger, or imitate the action of the snail. Smile a little wider, or leave behind a lovely silver.